Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series, How to Make Your Prayers Effective. You are studying Lesson 2, How to Receive from God in Prayer. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it. Yesterday, we began a study on the subject of prayer. And we watched the Joshua Bond story. And later on, I want to show you some more of that again. I mean, man, as we get into this and as the Lord leads, you need to see that again and again so you can pick out other things as you learn them from the Word of God that gave Brett and Sandy Bond what it took in the way of faith and power to cause that boy, that little child of theirs, to be raised up after his brain had been severed with a broken bone when he was thrown out of the back of the car and hit on his head. And they said he'd never walk nor talk again. And I want you to know that little fella is strong and he's healthy and he walks and he talks. And it's a miracle of God. But it wasn't a miracle just because it's a miracle. It was a miracle because they received from God in the field of prayer. Now, Luke 18:1. Let's turn over there and read that quickly. And we'll see what Jesus said. Now, this is Jesus speaking. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Now, one translation translates that this way. Men ought to always pray continually and not be discouraged or lose heart. Another translation says, men ought to pray always and not cave in, quit, and give up. In other words, your entire life should be around prayer. Now, let me share a couple of things here with you that I had to learn. I mean, I realize now, and the more I look back on my life, the more important that this becomes in anybody's life. One of the worst things anybody could ever do, and most people live their lives this way, I did, and you probably have in one way or another, one form or another, everybody has. You go on about your business, you go on about your daily affairs, and you're dealing with life problems, and you got all this stuff, and you're thinking every day, and you're figuring everything out, and you're reasoning everything. Blam! Something comes along and knocks your head right where your feet was, and your feet right where your head was, just about the time you thought you was ahead a little bit, and whap, here it comes again. And I mean about the time you got $10 saved and put away. The washing machine quits washing. The dog bit somebody. The mailbox got knocked off its post. And somebody run over it with the car and destroyed your Social Security check. Now you got to apply for another one. And they don't believe you when you went down there and talked to them about it. And that's life, brother. I mean, that is it. Amen. And the worst thing you can go do is just, go shoot something in your arm or go drink until you're just obliterated. Because I want to tell you something, Hoss. When you come around, it's going to be the same lousy, no good world of pitiful snake pit that it was before you got bombed. Now, you go through all of that and suddenly in the midst of it, you decide to pray. Now, you ain't picked your Bible up in 9 years. Yet the last thing you heard at church was, oh, yes, we are so undeserving. We are so no good. And it's a wonder God ever hears anything. And after all, it's all passed away. Well, I don't blame you. I wouldn't have read the thing either. Well, what's wrong here? Jesus said man ought to always pray. Jesus is talking about not using prayer and faith as some escape hatch somewhere after everything has just come apart like a $2 watch. What he's talking about is building a communication with God and visit with God and listen to God and learn how He speaks and how He talks and find out about the system of prayer that God has put into motion. We read yesterday where the Word says you have not because you ask not, or you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You don't know anything about the whole prayer system. And in the midst of a tragedy, in the midst of a disaster, in the midst of a horrible situation, you're trying to partake of something you don't know anything about. Yeah, but brother, God ain't gonna hear me pray. I know it, not you talking like that. That's like having money in the bank and saying, well, the banker won't let me have my money. You know, I mean, they tell me I got to sign a withdrawal slip. I got to sign. I can forget that. I can't even write. Well, go learn how, like everybody else did. Dear God, the banker ain't trying to keep your money from you. He's trying to keep it from everybody else. Amen. God and His people have a communication channel that the devil is, it's off limits to him. When we learn how God has put the safeguards into the prayer system and built the thing so that we pray in Jesus' name and we pray in faith and we pray believing. And Jesus said, whatever we ask, believing, we shall receive. And His Word teaches us how to believe and how to go about this thing. It isn't based on feelings. It isn't based on emotion. It's based on what God said. And I don't care how many lies the devil tells, he can't get in it. That's the reason he screams and hollers about this. Oh, God ain't gonna listen to you. You ain't fasted 42 days. That didn't have anything to do with it. Oh, no. Thank you. That has something to do with it. Now, fasting, that's a different situation. God leads you to fast, well, fast. But God's not going to hear you because you starve yourself. Are you listening to me? All right, now listen. We get into that later. Don't get all disturbed at me now. I mean, we hadn't even got to first base yet. Don't get mad at me until after we get all the way around the home. Then you can do what you want to do. Amen. I got this. Read it to you yesterday, but I want to read it to you again and talk here for a moment about it. This is something that when I was studying and preparing to bring this message to television, then the Spirit of the Lord impressed me with this, and I wrote it all down, and it blessed me so. I want to read it to you again. Now, remember what Jesus said, men ought to always pray. You could turn that around and say, men ought to pray always, not just when they're in trouble. You'd be like those two guys Charles Capps was telling me about, said, this fellow come up and said, boy, I don't know what we're going to do. And the other guy said, why don't we pray? He said, my God, has it come to that? I mean, I don't know why people think you ought to bring God in on it only after it is a total hopeless disaster. We could have started with God and avoided the disaster in a lot of cases. Amen. Listen to this. Prayer is always available. It is not just available to the goody-goody. There ain't no such thing as a goody-goody in the eyes of God if you're trying to be good enough for God to hear you. God doesn't hear your prayers because you're good. He certainly ain't going to hear your prayers because you're bad. Good and bad have little to nothing to do with the base that our prayer lives are resting on. They are more eternal than that, and because all men had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, then prayer encompasses all men, not just a choice chosen few who have gone up in the hills somewhere and grown a long beard and gotten weird and, you know, some... Well, anyway, let me read this. All right. Prayer is always available. I got to tell you this. A man that's gone on home to be with the Lord now, years ago, I'll tell you, one of the most prayerful men of the 20th century, named Rufus Mosley. And I mean, this man prayed and had a communication with God that was uncanny. And I heard a tape that was made in the latter years of his life, and he said a number of years ago, he was in his hotel room and he was lying on the floor, laying out before God, and he was praying. He said, I was praying and I was praying. And he said, all of a sudden I stopped and thought, you know what? Here lies somebody that knows absolutely nothing, talking to somebody that knows everything. And the guy that knows nothing is doing all the talking. Now think about that. He said, here lies a man who knows, here's someone that knows nothing doing all the talking to somebody that knows everything. In other words, he thought, you know, I believe it's time to listen to God here for a little bit. And this is so vitally important because God is seeking all over the world for those that will listen to Him. Amen. Listen, prayer is always available to everyone. There is no situation that one can find himself in that disqualifies him from prayer. And as I was praying, studying, and listening to God and how He wanted me to share this with you, He wanted this to be the very guts, if you will, the very foundation to what we're going into here. Listen to what He said. The deepest of sinners in the deepest of sin can still pray the prayer of repentance. So prayer's not closed off to the deepest of sinners in the deepest of sin, right in the middle of that sin. He's not closed off to prayer. At any moment, He can pray the prayer of repentance. Now listen to what the Lord said to me the other afternoon. From that point, from the point of praying that prayer of repentance, He qualifies then to continue into the other fields of prayer because Jesus is a faithful high priest. And He's faithful and He is just to forgive us when we confess our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And from that point on, He treats you like you never sinned. You're not going to have to, well, now that I've prayed the prayer of repentance, you know, maybe one of these days if I stay with this thing and I get good enough, maybe then He'll hear me. No, come on, man. The blood of Jesus is now. Hallelujah. So, from that point on, He qualifies to continue in the other fields of prayer because Jesus is a faithful high priest. Now listen to this. The only situation from which there is no deliverance. Do you get that? The only situation. I can prove this by the Bible. The Word of God says you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. He didn't say, you have not because God don't like you no more. You have not because God's mad at you. No, there's no such thing as that. God is love. Now listen to this. The only situation from which there is no deliverance is the rebellious refusal to pray at all. Now, as long as you stay in that rebellious thing, well, let me see God do something, then I'll pray. Bye. I mean, man, you've had it. We can send your saddle home. You are done. Is that plain enough? I mean, I don't want to fool around here where you can't understand me. You understand what I'm saying? All you guys and all you ladies that are incarcerated somewhere, you're watching this thing from the penitentiary. You listen to me and I'll show you a way out of there. Are you listening to me? I don't care if they put you in a joint illegally. I don't care if you didn't do it. You're still in there, Hoss. Now, the idea that you didn't do it is not where you major. You got to start from where you are. You're going to have to believe God. He is just. He knows whether you did it or not. You ain't going to con Him in or out of anything. And the thing for you to do in prayer is just get brutally honest with God and then get honest with everybody else to deal with Him straight on and start right where you are. Start from the walk you're on right now. Start from right where you are right now. in the name of Jesus, not where you hope to be and not where you used to be, but right where you are right now. If you do that, you can be freer where you are right now than you ever was when you was on the bricks, brother. I mean, you can be free right now. Yeah, if I'd just been born white. It don't make no difference what color you are after you did what you did. They'd have thrown you away whatever color you are. Amen? Get real, man. Get real with God. You can be as honest as you used to be crook. You can be as honest as you used to be a liar. You can be as real and as honest as you used to be flaky. I mean, like one guy said, you know, he said, I'll tell you one thing, brother. Underneath all that phony tinsel is some real tinsel. Dear God. Woo, glory. I know what I'm talking about, brother, because I used to be as phony as a $9 bill. Amen. And I have to stay right on top of it all the time right now. Stay right on the Word of God. Stay real before God. Keep from slipping off back in that phony bull again. Amen. Just lay it out there, man, and then walk on it. Praise the Lord. And I mean, you can believe God and start praying and acting on the Word of God. There's not any situation. I don't care what kind of mess you're in. There's not any situation from which there is no deliverance. I know one fella that they had to make the guy leave the joint. Oh, come on. Now, you listen to me before you go turning up your nose at me. This guy caught hold of the new birth and he caught hold of Jesus, fell in love with God. All he wanted to do was serve the Lord. He didn't care whether he's in the joint or out. And they came down and said, hey, you know, your time. Oh, no, man. He said, I can't leave now. He said, I just got this thing going good in here. And he said, man, I'm called to preach to these guys. I'm called to minister to these guys. I can't leave now. They said, you're going to have to... Get out of here! I don't want to get out of here, he said. Man, this is where I belong. I got a church started in here. I can't leave now. They had to run him out. Why? Because he's a free man. Man. Any man that knows how to pray effectively is a free man. I don't care who you are or where you are or what you are or where you came from, praise God. When you find out who you are, you're a born-again child of the living God. You find out what you are. I'm an instrument of God's arm. I'm like His right arm. I'm the axe in His hand. In the name of Jesus, I'm called and I move and I breathe in the love of my Savior, praise God. And if He's for me, nobody can be against him. There's one fella I know that got saved in the county jail before they sent him to the state penitentiary right here in the state of Texas. And he got down there and it turned him around. So he said, glory to God. He said, you know, I ain't going to jail. I ain't going to prison. I'm going to Bible school. He got his Bible, man. They put him in there and shut the door behind him. And he just lit into the Bible, into God's Word, and into prayer. He became an expert in prayer. He became a Bible scholar. And he still is today. And he is out pastoring a church today. And he wasn't even supposed to come up for parole for 2 more years from now. Are you listening to me? Whoo! Some of you guys right today in the business world, you're in jail too because you don't know how to pray. I don't know whether you've noticed it or not, but the whole business world is going to hell in a handbasket, brother. I mean, nobody knows what to do. All the analysts, the prophets, one of them saying we're going to have a recession. The other saying we're going to have a depression. Woo! What we got to be afraid of is inflation. The product is going up. The product is going down. Oh, the Japanese is going to get us. Oh, the Italians are going to get us. Oh, my God, don't bring down the Berlin Wall. The Germans will get us. Huh? If you learn how to pray and let the Spirit of God run your business for you, can't nobody get you. Amen. You can prosper right in the middle of it. And they'll come to you and ask you for answers instead of coming to you with cause you the problem, brother. Amen. Glory be to God. I better get back here. I get so excited and turned on. I better get back here to business. All right. Let's go back to this. The only situation from which there is no deliverance is the rebellious refusal to pray at all. That's the one. You can't anybody help. Do you know there's only one sin that sends you to hell? What? Yeah, that's what I said, what I said. Only one sin that will send you to hell, and that's refusing to make Jesus the Lord of your life and refusing to pray. Because every other sin is covered by His precious blood. Even that one. Oh, Jesus, I repent of not praying. I repent of not making You Lord a long time ago. And in the name of Jesus, I cry, whoo, brother. Oh, yeah. Amen. Now, God's Word. Now, this is so vital. This is so important. The promises in this Word. God's Word is His part of our prayer life. In other words, you go to the Word and says, by His stripes ye were healed. And you go to the Word and says, God is no respecter of persons. And you go to the Word and says, whatsoever we ask the Father in Jesus' name, He will give it you. Well, praise the Lord. I mean, that's the answer to the prayer, brother. Go based on that instead of based on, I wonder if you'll ever hear me. I'm so no good. I'm so unworthy. We had a tomato crop failure. The bugs got our cotton. I mean, you know, dude, what's all that have to do with it when God Almighty is on the throne? Amen. God's Word, His part of our prayers is available to whosoever will. He's no respecter of persons. His mighty name in which we pray the promises of His Word is being offered to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. Amen. And in that same context, the 10th chapter of Acts, the Bible very plainly says, the Apostle Peter said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Hallelujah to God. Amen. It ain't who you are, where you've been, or what background you've had. I want you to know Jesus is not a local boy. He is a man for all men. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. I want to pray that you receive God's Word and God's knowledge of praying and your prayer life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray today for this television audience, wherever they are, businessmen and women. I pray for pastors and church leaders. I pray for people that are incarcerated in one way or another, in penitentiaries or whatever way. Wherever the people are in the sound of my voice, I'm asking you to reveal to their heart that you love them and that you're ready and you'll hear their prayers. And reveal to them that Satan is the enemy, not you. Satan is the problem, not you. The problem is not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and wicked spirits in these heavenly places. Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus and render you paralyzed and helpless. In Jesus' name, you let God's people go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now then, I want you to begin to believe. Say it out loud. My God will hear me pray. When I pray in His name, I plan to develop my life of prayer. Amen.
Whoa, now wait a minute, you ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out and don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want, no. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn and remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next lesson.